trumpet unto you, O God. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough.
Believe how far you've brought me. I can't believe how far you brought me from. I can't believe how far you brought me. I can't believe how far you brought me from. I can't believe how far you brought me.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't believe how far you brought me.
No, 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 no.
I can't believe how far you brought me. I can't believe how far you brought me from. As I look back over the years, I've had some heartaches, I've shed some tears. Had it not been for your love, I would not be. And your grace and mercy, I can't believe how far you brought me. I can't believe how far you brought me from. I can't believe how far you brought me.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't believe how far you brought me from. I can look back over the years. I've had some heartaches, I've shed some tears. Had it not been for your love, I would not be. And your grace and mercy, I can't believe how far you brought me. I can't believe how far you brought me from. I can't believe how far you brought me. I can't believe how far you brought me from. So glad you brought me. So glad you brought me. Look where 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 you brought me. From where you brought me from.
Amen. Shall we put our hands together as we rise up to our feet? Amen. And welcome Apostle Joel. Amen.
Where you brought me. Look where you brought me. Look where you brought me. Look where you brought me. From where you brought me.
Wow, praise the Lord. Amen. I can't believe how far you've brought me. All right. It's a good song. Amen. How many are surprised where you are in life? Are you surprised? Wow, what a blessing. Amen. Let's share a word of prayer before we continue. Amen. So bow your heads, everybody, and I want you to pray, commit yourself into God's hands this morning and ask God to tell you something meaningful, something that will enhance your walk with Him, something that will make you stronger in Him, something that will make you know Him more, and something that will give you an upper hand in the battles of life. Just pray for yourself this morning. This is the house of God. Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. It's a place to talk to God. It's a place to connect with God. And I want you to pray. Thank you, Jesus. There is a place. A place that is safe. Here in your presence, Lord. There is a place.
A place of hope.
A place of hope. Here in your presence, Lord. This morning, indeed, through your word. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll help us, guide us into all truth, open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of your law, and grant us understanding to comprehend the things you're teaching us. We thank you, Lord, again, in Jesus' name, and everybody says amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you, and you may be seated. Amen. Wow. Are you happy to be in church today? It's a blessing to be back in church. Amen. I think I haven't been here for like 3 Sundays. And I know that Pastor Munene has been feeding you some good stuff. Because I was looking on Facebook at your photos and your faces looked very cheerful and you looked very well fed. So I think that was great. Amen. Amen. I bring you greetings from Ghana, where our headquarters is, and from the Bishop, Bishop Dag. Amen. And we had a great Shepherd's Conference. And I am sure I'll share with you some of the things from the conference later. Amen. Amen. All right. But this morning, I am happy to be here. Wow. And I want to share with you again from the Bible. Amen. Amen. The Bible is the Word of God. And when you go to church, you must expect to read the Bible. Amen. You must expect that one will share something with you from the Bible. Hallelujah. Not from a novel or from a business book or a law journal or something like that, but from the Bible, which is the Word of God. Amen. Amen. So today I want to share with you a very important message, and the title is Why You Must Be a Strong Christian. Wow. Amen. Why you must be a strong Christian. Everybody say strong Christian. Ask your neighbor, are you a Christian? Then tell them that's not enough. Tell them you need to step up your game and become a strong Christian. Hallelujah. Right, so Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 is a good place to begin. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. It says, finally, brethren, Ephesians chapter 6 and from verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Amen. Amen. Let's read it again from verse 10. It says, Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Amen. Amen. Now, there are many people who are in the Lord, but who are not strong in him. Hallelujah. You are in the Lord. You are in the right place. Congratulations. But that is not enough. You have to be strong in the Lord. Hallelujah. It is the reason why shortly after babies are born, we give them their shots to immunize them. Because it's not enough to be born. Is this your baby right here? I'm sure you gave him some shots, right? Why did you do that? To cause him pain? To make him cry? So why did you do that? To build his immune system. You're going to help my preaching today. Amen. To build his immune system, to help the baby develop immunity to many things in this life that can otherwise take him right back out. Hallelujah. So the mistake that many Christians make is that after they take the step to be in the Lord, they do not take their shots. And their immunity or immune system is never strengthened against the things that knock Christians out. And so they endure for a season, they endure for a little while, and then you look for them and you can't find them anymore in the Lord. And they are even surprised sometimes at what they find themselves doing after they have claimed to be Christians. Because the Bible teaches that when demons go out of people, you know, they go and roam around town for a little bit. Then one of them brings an idea. Let's go check on our former. Yes, let's go see if somebody has rented the apartment. And when they come and find the place swept and clean, ready for the next tenant, then they move in. Again, and this time he brings seven other spirits more wicked than himself. See, I just need you to understand this morning that you do have an adversary who is not joking with you. Hallelujah. That you do have an adversary. Every Christian has to understand that you do have an adversary. Look at the verse we're reading. It says, put on the whole armor of God. This is verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wiles of the devil means tricks of the devil. Hallelujah. Then look at verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You see, often you think that your problem is another human being. Flesh and blood just means human being. Now, the Bible says we're not wrestling with flesh and blood. That means your problem is never another human being. How many can understand that? Swallow that first. I'll pause. Just swallow that. I'm waiting. Has that settled? Your problem is not another human being. Your problem is not your boss. Your problem is not your friend. Your problem is not your mother. Your problem is not your spouse. Your problem is not your lecturer. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Yes, you are in a wrestling match. That's why you are struggling. But the opponent is not a human being. Is not flesh. Is not flesh and blood. Then he tells us what it is. It says, but against principalities, against powers. Do you understand? Against principalities and against powers. So if you look at all these big words, if you don't even understand that, that's even the more reason why you must be strong. Do you see what I'm saying? It tells you that it's complex. It's a complex world. Do you know what a principality is? It says we are wrestling against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world. I mean, the champions of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. See, any one of these words would be battle enough. If you are wrestling against something that is spiritual, it means you can't see it. You're fighting an invisible enemy. Do you understand? That alone would be a fight which is big enough. Do you understand? Then wickedness. Your opponent is wicked. I mean, wicked. Wicked. When people are wicked, that's human beings. When human beings are wicked, we see the things they do. That's a wicked human being. Now we're dealing with a wicked spirit. Spiritual wickedness, and it's in a high place. That means it's not at your level. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Every Christian has to understand. Many of us think that we're just involved in a game of going to church, singing some songs and dancing around. And, you know, it's whether the whole battle is about whether I make it to church today or not. I mean, can I really trick my pastor? Can I tell him something he can believe? I mean, so I don't come, make him understand and just do one or two things here and so on. You don't understand that there is actually a calculated plan and scheme to destroy you with bombs and other spiritual artillery that you need a lot of spiritual stamina and immunity to be able to survive. Can I have an amen? Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. I'm not scaring you. I'm just reading a verse in the Bible to you. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers. And again, look, there are powers that are after you. There are principalities that are after you. There is spiritual wickedness that you're contending with. It is not another human being you are dealing with. You are dealing with something spiritual. And you need to put on the armor of God. You need to be strong in the Lord in order to be able to fight and win this battle. Can I have an amen? Amen. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter. Chapter 5 and verse 8. It says, be sober and vigilant. Be sober and vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Did you see that? He says, listen, you need to be watchful and vigilant, because your adversary, you do have an adversary, whether you believe it or not. Actually, the less of that you believe, the happier it makes him. The enemy likes it when you don't believe he exists, when you think he's not around. The enemy likes it when you think it's somebody else. When your arrows and your ammunition and your guns are not trained against him, when they are targeting someone else, when he's doing it. Are you following what I'm saying? Every enemy is like that. Even when someone breaks into your car, he's happy that you're arresting someone else and not him. He's happy that you're looking somewhere else. Even though the thief is standing right by the car, he's happy that you're following someone else and not him. So when you don't believe that you have an adversary, the devil only claps for you. He celebrates it. It means he doesn't have a whole lot to worry about. Do you understand? It says you have an adversary. Believe the Bible. A Christian must believe the Bible. Amen. And the Bible says you have an adversary. Your adversary, the devil, is your adversary, not another human being. Your adversary, the one you are fighting against, is the devil. If you have something to throw at someone, throw it at the devil. Because it's not another human being. He says, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Seeking whom he may devour. He's looking around, prowling around, scouting around, looking for the one he can devour. Right there, it means not everyone is devourable. Not everyone he meets is devourable by him. And how do we determine who will be devoured and who will not be devoured? Well, when there's a fight, how do we know who is going to be beaten and who is not going to be beaten? It's all a matter of strength, isn't it? The stronger you are, the less likely you are to be devoured by this roaring lion. Hallelujah. The stronger you are in the Lord, the less likely you are to be devoured by the enemy. So that's why the scripture we're reading in Ephesians is telling us, listen, he said, my brethren, you need to be strong in the Lord. It's not enough to say I'm a Christian. It's not enough to say I belong to so-and-so church or that I attend so-and-so church. You need to be a strong person in the Lord. Hallelujah. You need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That means you need to be strong, and you need to be strong in the power things in the Lord. Amen. So that you will be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Can I have an amen? I see you winning your battles in Jesus' name. How many can understand who the target is and who the enemy is? You can understand that your enemy is not another person. Hallelujah. You may be experiencing something with another person, whatever, but you should understand always that there is an enemy behind that. Hallelujah. And it is not just the person you're dealing with. There's an enemy that is out to get you. Hallelujah. Now, one more verse that I think we should read is Luke chapter 22 and verse 31. To understand the enemy. Luke chapter 22 and verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Hallelujah. So right there, you can see how Jesus drew Peter's attention to something. He said, Simon, 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 Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you like wheat. Amen. He may sift you like wheat, like process you like they process wheat. Hallelujah. See, many of us think that the enemy is playing a game with us. If you knew the plans Satan has for you, you wouldn't stay in his territory even for 2 seconds. Amen. Sometimes the things that the enemy, or what the enemy presents sort of represents him as some kind of a friendly enemy. Do you understand? A lot of us don't have very bad thoughts about the devil. Do you understand? Yeah. Well, I mean, we know there's a devil and so on, but we don't have insight into how cruel the devil is. And Jesus was telling Peter that the best way I can describe the enemy's plan for your life is, he says, he wants to sift you like wheat. Do you understand? He wants to put you on a sieve and then rub you like that and then blow you out like that. The enemy wants to destroy you. The enemy wants to destroy your life. The enemy wants to destroy your marriage. The enemy wants to destroy your future. The enemy wants to destroy you. I mean, Satan, if he was left with you unrestrained, you will not recognize yourself in a few minutes. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So you need to understand and wake up to this reality that we are dealing with an enemy who is not playing with us. He's very serious, and you need to be strong, amen, in order to overcome him, in order to be able to stand, just to have a fair match. You need to be strong in the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. So tell your neighbor, enough of weak Christianity. Tell that person, you've had enough of it. Today is the last day of weakness in the Lord. Hallelujah. You have to be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. And do not be apologetic about it, because your adversary wants to destroy you. Hallelujah. You need to be strong. Look at another verse. I mean, we're in church. I told you we have to read a lot of verses from the Bible. Amen. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. When a strong man, this is verse 21 and 22. It says, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils. Hallelujah. Did you see that? It says, when a strong man, when a man is strong and armed, he's able to keep his palace and his goods are intact. When you are strong, the good things in your life are intact. Your health is intact. Your marriage is intact. Your finances are intact. Every good thing that God has given to you, including your child, is intact because you are strong. It says, when a strong man, look at the verse again. Let's read it together. Everybody, Luke chapter 11, verse 21 and verse 22. When a strong man, read so loudly that you can hear only yourself. 1, 2, 3, go. When a strong man, his goods are in peace. Do you have some goods that are not in peace? Do you have some good things that you can't seem to enjoy in peace? You have goods But they are not in peace. There is, seems to be a war around every good thing you have going for you. And the reason is because you're not strong. Because when a strong man keeps his palace, his goods are in peace. So if your goods are not in peace, chances are you are not strong. Hallelujah. You are not strong. But when a stronger than he, so when the enemy comes, when someone or a force or a power or a principality that is stronger than you comes upon you, he says he's able to overcome him and taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divided his spoils. Amen. How many can follow my message this morning? That you need to be strong. Otherwise, a force that is greater than you will come and take anything you have had confidence in, anything that has been good working for you, anything you've been depending on, anything you've been relying upon. And he says he takes it from you, you know, and he divides your spoils. That means he spoils and destroys your goods. Hallelujah. You will not be destroyed after today in the name of Jesus. Amen. So you need to be strong to overcome the evil one. That is number one reason why you need to be strong. You need to be strong to overcome the evil one. You need to be a strong Christian. Do not be a weak Christian. Be a strong Christian. There is no benefit in being a Christian but a weak Christian. You can strengthen yourself in the Lord. Amen. Maybe later on I'm going to show you how to be strong in the Lord or how you can strengthen yourself in the Lord. But you need to understand that it doesn't pay to be a weak Christian. If you're going to be a strong Christian. Amen. Be a solid Christian. Don't be the kind of Christian that has one foot in the church, another foot in the world. Don't be a kind of Christian who is, you know, half caste. You know what a half caste is? Huh? Half in the Lord, half in the world. Do you understand? You are playing a very dangerous game. You do not understand who the enemy is. You do not understand what the devil would like to do with your life. You do not understand the devil's long-term goals for your life. You do not understand what the devil would like you to look like 5 years from now. 10 years from now. The devil has time. He has it all laid out. He has a real plan for your life. Hallelujah. And you need to be strong in the Lord to be able to overcome him. Say amen. Amen. Now, number two reason why you must be strong in the Lord. So number one is to overcome the evil one. Number two is because the evil one is planning to attack you again. The evil one is planning to attack you again. 1 Kings chapter 20 and verse 22. He says, and a prophet came to the king of Israel and said unto him, go strengthen thyself and mark and see what thou doest. For at the return of the year, the king of Syria will come up against thee. Amen. He says, go and strengthen yourself. Develop stamina. Develop strength. Develop your immunity. Hallelujah. Develop the immune system because the battle you just fought is going to come around again. Hallelujah. Look at another verse. Luke chapter 4 and verse 13. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4 and verse 13. Now, this one has to do with Jesus himself. This one has to do with Jesus himself. The Bible says the devil took him into the wilderness and he was tempting him with all sorts of temptations and so on. And after three temptations or so, when the devil realized he was unsuccessful, then this verse occurs. The Bible says, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him forever. Is that what it says? He departed from him never to come back. No. It says he departed from him for a season. So you see that our battle with the enemy seems to have breaks. Isn't it? It seems to have breaks. Even when you're in a boxing tournament, I mean, you fight for 3 minutes, then they give you a 1 minute break. It's not over. When you go to your corner and they start pouring water on you and start, you know, refreshing you and so on, it's to strengthen you for the next round. Because it's not over. Hallelujah. And it says that the devil ended all the temptation and you would have thought it was over, but he departed from him just for a season. It was just a break. Some of you may have noticed how your battles seem to recur. You know, it happens, then there seems to be a little break, and you seem to, you know, have a season where the problem seems to be gone. You know, then suddenly it rears its head again. It comes up again. It seems to come up again. The same problem seems to come back. It is because the devil leaves you for a season. Amen. Amen. So if you do not strengthen yourself, you may find out that when he comes back again with the same challenge and the same difficulty, you know, this time you're going to lose even though you won the last battle. Amen. Amen. A lot of people win a battle and then they put down their ammunition because they feel that I have overcome this forever. Hallelujah. Don't you see how you quit something? You quit smoking, you quit drinking, you quit fornication, sleeping around with everybody. You stop it. Then it seems to revisit your life again. You know, that same temptation you thought you were through with this lifestyle, and then suddenly you find that that same lifestyle has visited you again. And it is because the enemy is a relentless enemy. He will continue to fight. And you need to continue to stay strong in order to win that battle. Can I have an amen? Amen. Well, it sounds like, you know, you don't like what I'm saying, but I'm just preaching the word of God to you. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? Yeah. That the enemy is going to come back and fight you again. If you think it's the end of marital quarrels, you're going to have another bout of it. If you think it's the end of the temptation to drink, you're going to have the temptation to drink again. Do you understand? That's why you need to have strength. You need to develop strength. Some of you used to be slaves to pornography. Slaves to watching naked butts on the iPad, on your iPhone, on your computer. I mean, anything that connects to the internet. And by the grace of God, you seem to be breaking that habit and you're coming away from it. Well done. But expect it to be for a season. Are you following what I'm saying? Expect to be that it will be for a season because the temptation will come back. Do you understand? The good news is that you don't have to fall for it. That is why we're learning what we're learning today. If we strengthen ourselves, when the enemy comes back, he may actually find out the break has helped you. The break has made you even stronger. That you have now strengthened yourself. You are a much stronger person than he left you. Wow. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah. That since the last battle, you have developed more stamina. You have developed more energy. You have developed more strength. And you have more capability to withstand him. And to withstand him and fight that same battle. And this time you're going to win in the name of Jesus Christ. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? So expect to fight that same battle again. And this time you're going to win. I said this time you're going to win. Tell your neighbor, I'm not losing anymore. This time I'm going to win. Yeah. The enemy should bring the same battle on. you're going to win. Amen. See, sometimes the enemy wants you to, you know, he wants to create a series of losses. Do you see? And when you've experienced a series of losses in the battle, you fought and you lost and you fought and you lost, then you sort of identify more with losing. Do you see what I'm saying? And it's difficult for you to expect to win. But that is changing today. Yes. Hallelujah. It's changing today. You are the winning kind, and you're going to win those battles by the grace of God as you strengthen yourself. Say amen. Amen. Right. Number three, you need to strengthen yourself so you can withstand in the evil day. So you can withstand in the evil day. Okay, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13, it says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. That means anything and everything that God provides for our protection. You need to take it seriously. Amen. Some people take certain aspects of our Christian life seriously. Let's say we take attending church on Sunday morning seriously. But we don't care about, let's say, the early morning prayer meetings. Or we don't care about having a quiet time or reading the Bible. So long as I can just practice a part of it faithfully, I'm okay. But the Bible says you need the whole armor of God. Do you understand? You need the whole armor of God. I mean, if, imagine a military man who is going to war and says, well, I'm just going to wear the boots they offer, but I'll just leave the gun. You can't afford to lose any of what is offered for an armor. You need the whole armor of God. Everything that God is providing, he's providing it for a reason. Amen. What the boots do, the gun does not do. Are you understanding what I'm saying? What the bulletproof vest does, the gun does not do that. So you can't afford to leave any of the armor behind. You need to put on the whole armor of God in order to be able to survive. Now look at this. It says, so you will be able to withstand in the evil day. The evil day is just a bad day. Now when you've been around for some time, you understand not all days are equal. Isn't it? There are days when you realize you are having a bad day. This is an evil day, isn't it? Yeah, there are days when everything seems to pile up on you. It looks like all the trouble is unleashed on the same day. Everything that you could ever think about fighting is released against you on the same day. That's an evil day. Hallelujah. An evil day is a day of temptation. An evil day is a day when you meet things you didn't expect to meet. And many people either collapse on the evil day or they go crazy on the evil day. They are just not doing well because they were not prepared. They were not able to withstand in the evil day. Hallelujah. But God wants you to strengthen yourself so you can survive on the evil day. Maybe today is not the evil day. Today, no one is annoying you. Today, no one is putting you in a certain situation. No one has invited you anywhere today. You don't have a date tonight. It's not an evil day. But there's surely a day when it won't be like today. And you wake up and right from the morning, or sometimes even just before the day ends, when you thought you had had a victorious day or a great day, suddenly, just before you go to bed, something comes up. Who knows what I'm talking about? Yes. Amen. So in the evil day, God expects you to be strong. Amen. You should be strong again because you don't know what you meet. Recently, there was the story about some terrorist that got on a train in France. Did you hear that story? No, in the news, they had the story of somebody who got on a train. I think the train was traveling from Belgium into Paris. And then they had this guy who got on the train and pulled his gun and he was getting ready to, you know, do what terrorists do. You know, but then they had these American guys, young guys on, I think they're military guys, I think. Yeah, Marines, yeah. And they were happened to be on the train just at that time. I mean, the guy picked the wrong the wrong carriage, and these guys were there. So they took him down. They really beat him up, and he couldn't do what he could do. Do you understand? Now, do you think when these guys were going on the train, they were expecting such a thing? No. But because they had strengthened themselves previously, when the evil day showed up, they were able to withstand it. Hallelujah. They fought the guy, they defeated him, and saved many lives on that day. I mean, only God knows what that guy would have done. Do you understand? I think yesterday or the day before, there was some trouble in Paris or so. And it's, that's what these guys do. Hallelujah. So that's an evil day, and you need to be prepared so that in the evil day, you can stand. Can I have an amen? Amen. Then finally, today, the last point is you need to strengthen yourself so you can help others. You need to strengthen yourself so you can help others. Romans chapter 15 and verse 1. Romans chapter 15 and verse 1. It says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Have you found that verse? We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Hallelujah. We then that are strong. Isn't it? Pastor Charles, you're surprised there's a verse like that in the Bible. Yeah. It says, we then that are strong, we who are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. So one of the reasons why you need to strengthen yourself is so you can be a helpful person to other Christians. There are many of us who are not helpful at all. We are rather aids, and we actually help people to sin rather than strengthen them against it. And that's a shame. God wants you to be a source of strength for other Christians. But if you are not strong yourself, you cannot be a source of strength. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That is why every time you get on a plane, you get on an airplane before the plane takes off and the flight attendants start going through their thing. One of the things they say, yeah, I get it. It's telling me it's time to stop. Right. So just give me 2 minutes. I'll be done. Right. Are you listening to me? The flight attendants tell you that in the unlikely event that the cabin loses pressure, then they are going to drop these oxygen masks and you are supposed to take it, and then they'll show you how you should put it over your head and you start, then they say start breathing normally. Right. Then they tell you after that if you're traveling with a child, they tell you, you need to put your oxygen mask in place first before you take care of the child. Isn't it? Now, why do they tell you to do that? Because the child, you would have thought, rather needed help. Yeah. See, I hear him. Do you understand what I'm saying? Why do they tell you to fix the child's oxygen mask first? Because you would have thought that the child rather needs help. We always grow up, or we are taught to put children first, isn't it? But this is one scenario where they take care of yourself first. Because the truth is that if you are dying, it doesn't matter that the child has an oxygen mask because the mother is gone. So they say that it's important for you to strengthen yourself first, so you can be of help to the little child. Are you understanding what I'm saying? We are weak ourselves, and so we're not able to be of much help to other Christians. You cannot be a blessing to other Christians. You can't help other Christians if you're weak yourself. There are so many people around who are looking for strong Christians to lean on. people who be an example to them, people who will help them with their difficulties, people who will help them with things they struggle with all the time. And you need to be strong yourself. If you're not strong yourself, no one can lean on you. If you try to lean on something that is weak, the whole thing collapses with you also. Isn't it? So God wants you to be strong. He says, we who are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. We are supposed to be helpful to other Christians. We're supposed to help others who are struggling, isn't it? And not just think about ourselves. Then he says, let every one of us, verse 2, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. That means all of us must invest in the building up of another person. You must help other people to be strong. You help other people to be strong sometimes by inviting them to come along with you to meetings, you know, overcoming or helping them overcome their excuses, sometimes giving them a ride. Not that you yourself are struggling. Amen. There are many of us who should not be struggling at this point in your Christian life. But then the thing is, you are weak. Because you are a weak Christian, no one can depend on you. Someone wakes up in the morning, he doesn't really feel like coming to church today, and he makes the mistake of checking with you. So he calls you and says, are you coming? You are a weak Christian, you are struggling yourself. So they call you and they're asking, I'm not going today, I don't feel like going to church today. What they should be getting from you is, what do you mean? Why don't you feel like going to church? We need to go, put yourself together, I'm coming for you right now, I'm coming to help you to go. But instead of that, they get something else from you. So you're not going to church today. Well, that makes two of us. I also don't feel like it. I have. So, hey, I'm surprised you have the same feeling. I also don't feel like it today. I think God will understand. You know, then you make the sign of the cross in the room. You know, God will forgive us. I think today we dash it to the pastor. No. It should be that their mistake was to have called you. Do you see what I'm saying? It should be that they were not planning on coming, but because they called you, they came. Hallelujah. We ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Amen. For even Christ, verse 3, pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Amen. Right. So we must strengthen ourselves so we can be helpful to other Christians. Amen. And then finally, number 5, a wise man is strong. We must strengthen ourselves because it is wise to be strong. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 5, the Bible says, a wise man is strong. And yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 5. It says, a wise man, not this one, chapter 24 and verse 5. A wise man is strong. Amen. A wise man is strong. Tell your neighbor, a wise man is strong. Yeah. Tell your neighbor again, if you're wise, you will be strong. Yeah. It means it is foolish to be weak. It is foolish to be a weak Christian. It is foolish not to be solid and strong in the Lord. It is foolish. It is unwise to be in the Lord and to be a weak version of a Christian. Develop strength. Strengthen yourself. Tell your neighbor, it's strength all the way. I'm going to strengthen myself. Hallelujah. You need to strengthen yourself so you can keep your composure. You need to be strong. for the evil day. You need to be strong when things are not going as you would like them to go. You need to be strong to be able to survive it. You need to be a strong Christian in order to make it in this life. As for those principalities and powers, they should wait for us. We are strengthening ourselves. Hallelujah. We are strengthening ourselves. If you lost a battle before, don't worry. After today, you will never again be the same. The enemy will be surprised at who came back home from church, because they won't know what you heard. But you're not going to be weak anymore. You're going to be a strong Christian by the grace of God. Hallelujah. You should be a strong Christian. You shouldn't be ashamed of being a strong Christian. Amen. Be strong in the Lord so you can stand. Amen. And I like that part of Ephesians that says, and having done all to stand. When the battles are over, you must be standing. What is the use of fighting and after you are declared winner, you die?
Wow.
Having done all, you need to stand. Amen. God wants you to stand. God wants you to be strong. He wants you to be powerful so others can depend on you. Say amen. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Amen. It's a strong Christian service this morning. I want you to take 2 minutes to pray to the Lord for strength. Say, Lord, I want you to strengthen me in the inner man. Strengthen the inner part of me. I want you to strengthen me, Lord. Strengthen me. You've been a weak Christian for too long. Every temptation seems to overcome you. The things you say you wouldn't do are the things you find yourself doing. The things you know you shouldn't be doing are the things you find yourself doing. You find yourself going back to the same things. Even when the same temptation you've had before comes again, you seem to lose that battle. But today God is visiting your life and God says, I'm bringing strength to you. I want to strengthen you in the inner man. I want you to pray. Open your mouth and start praying to God. Everybody, lift up your hand to Him and say, Lord, I want you to strengthen me. Strengthen me in the inner man. Strengthen me in this area of my life. Some of you need strength in managing your temper. Some of you need strength in managing your body. Some of you need strength to break away from temptation, to break away from fornication and from lust and from living a life that you yourself are not happy with. You need that strength to be able to say no to drugs, to say no to alcohol, to say no to pornography, to say no to some friends. The things that are destroying you, which you know about, they are not helpful to you, but you can't seem to resist them. You can't seem to say no. But today is your day. God wants you to be strengthened, strengthened with might to be able to say no to those temptations, no to those friends, no to bad company, no to those evil influences, to say no to those things that seem to sink you every time. In the name of Jesus, pray for strength. Lift up your hand to the Lord and ask Him to strengthen you. And say, Lord, strengthen me this day. Strengthen me this day. Say no to depression. Say no to unhappiness. Say no to unexplained depression. This periodic spirit of heaviness that seems to descend upon you and seems to render you incapable of doing anything else. You feel so depressed. You feel so unhappy. You can't even explain how this thing seems to come upon you every time. Today you can have victory over that situation in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, 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 we break the power of depression. We break the power of the spirit of heaviness. We break the power of lust over our lives. We break the power of sin over our lives. We break the power of alcohol over our lives. We break the power of godly and youthful lusts in the name of Jesus. We break the power of fornication, the power of adultery. We break that power, the power of the enemy, every power of the enemy over our lives. We break it in the name of Jesus. We receive strength to overcome it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for giving us strength today. We thank you for giving us strength to overcome the things that have overcome us up to today. Today is the last day of losses to that problem. And we thank you for a new wave of victory. Victory over sin. Victory over backsliding. Victory over adultery. Victory over alcoholism. Victory over worldliness in the name of Jesus. Lord, the distractions that take us away, the things that cause us to be distracted, every time we sit down to read your word or to pray, the things that come in, the battles we fight and have to contend with all the time, even just to perform our basic Christian duties, Lord, we receive strength from you today to overcome those battles in the name of Jesus. The principalities and the powers that rule and that prevail in our lives, we declare to you today that we have victory as we rise up in strength. That we will walk in the power of his might. We will put on the whole armor of God. We are being strengthened in him today in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. I just want you to touch your neighbor. Just touch your neighbor. Touch one person standing next to you. And pray for strength for that person to overcome anything that is overcoming that person. Just touch one person near you and pray for them. And just pray that God will strengthen them against anything that represents a battle for them. Maybe it is drugs. Maybe it is alcohol. Maybe it is backsliding. Maybe it's prayerlessness. Maybe it's their temper. Their temper. Whatever it is that they seem to be struggling with over and over and over again. Enough is enough. Set them free by the power of the blood of the Lamb. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes. We thank you, Holy Spirit. Because it is you who gives us strength to walk in the victory that belongs to us. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, rain, rain down, rain down. Oh, comforter and friend.
Oh, comforter and friend.
How we need your touch.
How we need your touch again. Holy Spirit, rain.
Everybody sing, Holy Spirit, rain down. Rain down,
rain.
Let your power fall.
Let your power fall.
Let your voice be heard.
Let your voice be heard. Come and change our hearts as we stand on your word. Holy Spirit, rain down.
Father, we thank you for today. And we thank you for the strength that has been released into us today. Thank you, Lord, for victory over the things that have defeated us for so long. Thank you for victory over bad habits. Thank you for victory over sinful habits. Thank you for victory in wrong relationships. Thank you for the upper hand, oh God, to overcome the enemy where we need to overcome him, in the name of Jesus. We are set free today from anything that holds us bondage. That we are slaves to nothing today in the name of Jesus. That by your grace and by your help, by the strength that you are pouring into us today, Lord, we declare victory over the powers of darkness in the name of Jesus. And thank you, Lord, for raising strong Christians, making us strong so we can be helpful to others. So others can look up to us. So we can be an encouragement to others when they are falling in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the strength that comes from God in the name of Jesus. We are grateful to you, Lord. We are strong in you today in Jesus' name. Now, finally, as we close the service, maybe you are here today. It might be your first time here. Or perhaps you have been here before, but you know in your heart that Jesus is not the Lord of your life. You know that you are not saved. You know that you are not born again. You know that your sins are not forgiven. That by itself puts you at a disadvantage when it comes to the enemy. But today your sins can be forgiven. You can become a child of God. You can be sure today that if you died, you would go to heaven. And I want to give you that opportunity before we close the service. So if you're here like that and you're saying, Pastor, I want you to pray with me because I want to give my life to Jesus today. Because I want to begin a new walk with the Lord today. Or perhaps you have given your life to Christ, but you know you have not been serious. You know that the way you have lived is more like someone who's never given his life to Christ. But God wants to restore you. And God wants to bring you back to himself today. So if you're here, I want you also to raise up your right hand and I'm going to pray for you. Just while every eye is closed and every head bowed, I just want you to slip up your right hand and I'll pray for you. I just want to see it and I'll pray for you. Thank you, Lord. Is there anybody here like that today? Is there anybody here like that today? Thank you, Jesus. Okay, why don't we all just say this prayer together? Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. I thank you for shedding your blood for my sake. Let that blood wash me. Let that blood cleanse me. Say, Jesus, save me. Strengthen me. Make me a strong Christian. And help me to follow you. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Amen. Amen.